So why do we praise him? He's God Almighty. And he is still in control. And one day he's coming back again. For me, it would not be too soon. I'll be very honest with you. It would take the cobwebs out of my mind. So, Andrew, I just want to check with you. Did you turn on the receiver? Okay. That's why we praise him, because of who he is. Listen, I can't emphasize this enough. We talk about hope for this country. Sometimes we talk about hope for the world. There is no hope apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we praise him. Thanks, Joe. We were having problems with the transmission. So, and you hear the delay on it. It's not bad, right? Not a bad thing. So for those of you watching at home, sorry, we had a little glitch. It's fixed now. You know, no matter what the outcome of all this stuff that's going on, all of us, the moment we trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, are already on the winning side, all of us. So our victory, our identity, our life, our being is all centered in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. good singing. You may be seated. So, Pastor, today is January the 10th, 2021. Didn't take us that long to mess it up, did we? 2021. The question is, where do we go from here as a church? And it's a good question. It's a real good question. I want to suggest to you that the answer never changes. It's consistent because it's our Great Commission. It's our Great Commission. We give up on the mission of God's mission, then there is no hope in the world. So would you read this from the book of Acts with me? This is Acts chapter 1. This is a repetition of the Great Commission. I think the Great Commission you can find from the Old Testament right through the New Testament about 6 or 7 times, all right? So would you read this with me, please? Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, going to restore the kingdom to Israel. They were looking for Jesus to be the militant and the new leader, right? And that's not why he came. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has sent by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's God's agenda for us. We have to start here in Lacey. Then we branch out to the county. And then we branch out to the state. And then we branch out to the world, wherever God might take us. But listen, one of the failings, I believe, of the evangelical church over the years is that we haven't started where we are. And because we didn't start where we are, that is reaching out to people, we're in danger of losing the fourth generation of young people. And that's not good. That really isn't good. We need to wake up to that. And so what's for us tomorrow is to go on with God's business. That's what it is for us. That's what it is for all churches who believe in him. And so as we do that, we have a lot to pray for. Gloria told me that her niece's husband is on a ventilator from COVID. His name is Dan, and he's fighting for his life right now. He's unfortunately also in kidney failure. And I guess that can happen on ventilators, Doc, right? Yeah. He's got 3 young children, very young. So we need to pray for Dan. We need to pray for others who are fighting this terrible thing. And we need to continue to pray for our health workers, the people on the front lines, the retail people, the delivery people. Pray for churches, for pastors. This is a tough time. You know, part of our leadership meeting tomorrow night is going to be how can we better utilize social media to reach people? And we have to do that now because, we're just in uncertain times. So we need to pray for that. We also need to pray that whatever we do, and here I'm quoting scripture again, whatever we do will result in God being glorified. Isn't that what Paul says? Whatever you say or do indeed, glorify God. And so, would you join me in prayer as we continue to worship? Father, forgive me, but I think of the old Allstate commercials where the commercial used to say, you're in good hands with Allstate. And Father, the fact of the matter is that when we give ourselves to you and trust you and trust Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we're in the best hands in the universe. Father, we need to hear from you through your word, through your spirit going forward. Would you direct our steps, Holy Spirit? Encourage us to do the right thing. Encourage us to be bold in a loving way with the gospel. Because, Father, people are hurting. They're unsure. Some people still are out of work. Some people are battling this horrible coronavirus. We pray for the families, Father, that you encourage them. And, Father, I especially want to pray for the people who lost their lives this past Wednesday, for the families that are left behind, that you bring comfort to them and peace. And so, Father, as we go forward, help us to recognize and utilize every opportunity that you make available to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone who needs to know Jesus. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be going back to Acts. We were there before the holidays. Chapter 10, and how appropriate, talks about embracing God's mission. All right? You know, one of the things that I've found in all my years of ministry, because I read this through some Christian psychologists, you can even to some extent see it in the Bible, but what you think of when you first get up in the morning is crucial. It really is crucial. It can set the tone for the rest of the day. Isn't that true? Some of us, you know, may wake up thinking of some issues at work that we have to face that day. Some of us, for lack of a better term, can wake up grumpy, right? Some of us can just get so overwhelmed even before the day starts that it sets the tone for the day. And here's something else. Now, this hits close to home, okay? In stressful times, in times of uncertainty, in times where emotions run high, these are the times that reveal our prejudices. Would you agree with that? All right? Everyone here has some prejudice. Everyone. Whether we realize it or not. Well, where do you get it from? Well, the answer to that fundamentally is from your sin nature. That's where it comes from, because in our sin nature, we think we're right, everybody's wrong. We think that the world revolves around us. That's the nature of greed, narcissism, right? And you push that too far, it's when we're in a position like we're in today, where if you don't think like me, I want nothing to do with you. You know, as a young boy, well, boy, I was in college. I was a freshman in college back in 1970, in the old days. I remember my friend and I, my best friend from high school, he went to Cornell and I went to Rutgers. We had just enough money for a round-trip plane ticket to Miami. So in January, between semesters, we went down to Miami. We had no place to stay. We figured we'd sleep on the beach. We were crazy. And, you know, and just kind of hit the Howard Johnson's All You Can Eat for 99 cents. You remember that, right? I don't even, do they do that anymore? They're probably out of business. Yeah. So we used to do that. But I remember getting on a bus in Miami, and there was a sign as soon as you got on the bus that said, "Cubans to the back of the bus." And I was shocked. I was really shocked. You know, prejudice was alive and well back then. And I lived, well, most of us lived through the march on Selma, Alabama, and, you know, the quest to get rid of prejudice in the American heart. And listen, listen to me. Again, the only one that can change the heart is Christ. Here's where we get in trouble as a church, where we think that certain people can't be saved because of the color of their skin or their views, or they look different than us, right? Do you remember when the Beatles first came out? Kristen, you're exempt from this, I know. But you might learn something. When the Beatles first came out, they had the long hair over their ears, right? And what did you hear in our culture? The cry, they're bums. They should get a haircut, right? Remember? And, of course, you know, with me being young and rebellious back then, guess what I did? I grew my hair. And I can remember person after person saying to me, you got to get a haircut. You got to get a haircut. In fact, when it came time for yearbook pictures in my senior year, I got called down to the principal's office. Now, I used to get away with a lot because I was in the top of the class or in the first five of the class. And he would say, would you get a haircut for your senior picture? And I said, no. And he said, is it money? And I said, no. And he says, well, what is it? And I said to him, I'm not defined by my hair. And so why is this so important to you? Well, he took money out of his pocket and he gave it to me. And he says, please go get a haircut, right? And, you know, we get caught up in these things. And hopefully he got my point. But the point that I'm trying to make here, and these are true stories. There was one church in this area who was meeting in a hall, and they were just starting out, and a young lady in the summertime came in her bathing suit, curious as to what was going on. And unfortunately, someone said for her, she wasn't appropriately dressed, you need to leave. Wrong thing to do. Wrong thing to do. Is that prejudice? Absolutely. You know, it's all reasons for prejudice. One of the, you know, we fight for, we want to be recognized as people. And I understand that the Bible says we're all created in God's image. We're not all God's children, but we're all created in God's image. And that ought to show in the way we treat each other. That ought to show in the way we respect each other. And for someone who should know better in the church to say, I'm sorry, you have to leave, how do they know that wasn't a divine appointment for this lady coming in and maybe she would respond to the gospel? Right? How do you know? I remember when some of our ladies went to a woman's retreat down at Harvey Cedars, and, you know, I got a call afterwards. And, you know, whenever you get a call after a retreat that says, Pastor, I got to see you, it's never good. And, you know, I met with several of the lady, maybe four of them. And they said, you'll never guess what we saw on our retreat. Women? Yeah. Yeah, women. Okay. Would you believe some of them have tattoos? Yeah, I believe it. Well, they had no business being there. Says who? Says you? Do they need Jesus? Do they need Jesus? What makes you think you're better than them? Well, they get angry at me. But I'm sorry. Listen, at the cross of Christ, everyone's equal. At the cross of Christ, everyone is equal. I remember years ago, I had a job as a credit analyst for a company, and the president of the company was so unreasonable. I called Mary Lou and I said, I'm resigning. I can't take it because I'll have a heart attack. And she said, okay. You know, Joey was like 2.5, 3 years old at the point. And, you know, I handed my resignation in, and it was like, whew. A weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I really prayed about it. It wasn't just a reaction. I prayed about it. I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he just laid on this to me, that he doesn't take away something without replacing it with something better. And one of the reasons why I left is because this company insisted on keeping two sets of books. You know how that goes. And that was kind of dishonest, right? And so on and so forth. And, you know, through it all, you know, as I'm working in the company, I find out that if you can't buy into the company culture when they do something dishonest, now you're expendable, right? That's a form of prejudice. Prejudice comes in all sorts of forms. It was even present in Jesus' day, more so. It's present today. Do you know what the most accepted form of prejudice is today? Fat people, right? That's the most accepted form of prejudice, because anybody can make fun of fat people without repercussion these days. You know, I love the D.L. Moody was kind of crass in his presentations. When I say crass, he was not a scholar. Sometimes he used bad grammar, just like I do in his presentations. So there was an older woman at one of his meetings. She comes up to him after the meeting. She missed a whole point of the sermon. And all she said to D.L. Moody was this: "Mr. Moody, I'm not fond of your grammar." And he looks at her, and he says he shouldn't have said this, but this is what happens when you react. He said, "Ma'am, I'm not fond of your face, but I could change my grammar." And that was a lesson to him to say, "Ugh, I did step over the line here because she got me angry. I shouldn't have said that." He apologized. But you understand where I'm coming from. You know, we have all sorts of prejudices. Listen to how God works this out. This is some years now after Pentecost. Some years have passed. And if you remember, the gospel wasn't supposed to be just kept to Israel. The gospel was supposed to be for the whole world. This is a pivotal chapter that faces the prejudices of the Jews and the Gentiles right in the face. So it says that Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion. He was in the army, in what was known as, I love this, the Italian regiment. He must have spoke with his hands, I don't know. And then it says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed regularly to God. Here is a good example of a religious man who was seeking God, a religious man who wanted to do the right thing, he and his family, but a religious man who was not born again. Okay? We know there are some real good people out there that really are God-fearing people, but they haven't come to know God in a personal way through Jesus Christ. This is where we get confused in our culture, too. And, you know, this was a good man. And he goes on to say, one day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Well, that would have been enough to shake me to my bones. Cornelius stared at him in what? Fear. "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." So God gives Cornelius this vision and says, look, we know you're seeking God. Send for Peter, and he's going to reveal to you how you can have an intimate relationship with God. It's as simple as that. But we can't go right past verse 6. Verse 6 is important. God now is preparing Cornelius' heart. He's also been preparing Peter's heart. This is why you would continually hear me say God is still in control. God is sovereign. If Peter was in the same place where he was right after Pentecost, he would have never stayed in the house of a tanner. You know what a tanner is? A tanner skins the hide off of dead animals. And it was against the Levitical law back then to have any contact with dead animals. Well, Simon the Tanner, that's how he made his living. And for Peter to stay with him at this point, that was an incredible thing in itself. So God has been working on Peter's heart. Let's trace this through. This is really neat. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius sent two of his servants and a devout soldier, a soldier who was also seeking, who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. Do you notice something common here? Cornelius was praying, and God sent a messenger. Now, Peter was praying, and God's sending another messenger. This is all part of God's incredible sovereignty. And this is what made me think of that young lady who came into the service in the bathing suit, right? This was an appointment, a divine appointment, and the church missed it. Here you go. He became angry and hungry, and wanted to eat something. This is talking about Peter. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. God's giving him a vision. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It consisted of all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now, why was this so disturbing to Peter? Because the Levitical law told Peter that they were not allowed to eat any animals except if they chewed cud and had cloven feet. Okay? So here's God declaring all things clean. Right? "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied, still impetuous. "I never have eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times. Peter was a little thick-headed, right? This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. This is an incredible vision. God was in the process of changing Peter's prejudiced heart. Why was it prejudiced? Because Peter and a lot of his fellow Jews looked at Gentiles as something like dogs. Talk about prejudice. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. Now, this was risky for them, too. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So go, get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." You know, to Peter's credit, he listened to the Spirit. We should be doing more listening to the Spirit of God. Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jews, all Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Peter would have been thrown out of the synagogue for doing this. To eat with Gentiles? Whoa. The next day, Peter started out with them. And some of the believers from Joppa went along. They kind of suspected God was up to something here, right? Everything was coming together. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. You know what? I hope God gives me the chance in my lifetime to see a revival like this, where people start to say, there's something to this Jesus. There's something to this Christianity. And this is so good, I want my friends, my relatives, to hear about this. So he invites all of them, right? As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. And look what Peter does. But Peter made him get up and said, stand up. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went outside, inside, and found a large gathering of people. This is all God ordained. This is incredible. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Whoops. Sorry about that. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Listen, I don't know God's plan, okay? I do not agree with violence in any form, whether it was violence in the cities or the violence that happened this past Wednesday. But I do agree with this. No one is beyond the salvation of God, not even the rioters. Because out of there, God may appoint the next evangelist. He may use them to his glory. We don't know. I've often told you in high school in the yearbook, you know, when they pick most likely to succeed, I would have been picked as least likely to come to Christ. How about you? So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection, Peter says. This is life-changing for Peter now. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, and at 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send a Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to say. Man, I would love every Sunday to be like that. Pastor, we're coming hungry for the word. And if you bring a guest, Pastor, I am hungry for Jesus. Man. And Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. You should underline that. God doesn't show favoritism, right? But accepts from every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news, the gospel of peace through Christ Jesus, who is Lord of all. Now he's saying, hey, this is all about Christ. And he goes on to say, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. And he kind of recounts history, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who are under the power of who? The devil. Because God was with him. We are witnesses. This is incredible. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Wow. Peter's saying we're witnesses. We saw this with our own eyes. Now listen to me. You are a witness also. Because you knew what you were like before you came to Christ. I hope you knew what you were like before you came to Christ, if we're honest with ourselves. You know where you were when Christ met you. He found you. And you know when you put your trust in him as a personal Lord and Savior. And also you know what a difference he has made and continues to make in your life. Listen, all you need to do is tell people your story. That's it. Well, how do you know it's true? Well, I was there. Right? I was there. I experienced firsthand the transforming power of God's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I have an illustration at home about a church in the South. This older man was applying for church membership. And it's customary for deacons or elders to meet with the person applying for membership and hear their testimony. And he wasn't given quite a clear testimony because not everybody's conversion is the same. For some people, it's gradual. For others, it's very stark, okay? And he was a little bit unclear as they pressed him, give me the exact date that you came to Jesus. He says, I don't know if I can do that. He says, because I was kind of a progressive thing. And they kept pressing him and pressing him. And the man, one of the elders looked at him and said, then how do you know you're saved? And he simply said, I was there. I was there. He knew. Jesus is his personal Lord and Savior. Your story is powerful. It's a story of God's love, God's grace, his mercy, his righteousness. And we don't give credit to the story. Let's finish this out. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses from whom God had already chosen. Those of us who ate and drank with him, this is when he rose from the dead, after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone, underline that, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It's open to anyone, regardless of race, color, or creed. Everyone, no matter what color your hair is, no matter how many piercings you have, no matter how many tattoos you have, no matter what kind of clothes you wear, no matter if you come in with purple hair or pink or blue, it's open to anyone. You know, sometimes churches get caught up in this thing, we have to act dignified. You know, let me tell you something. Every one of us who came to Christ in the early stages of that, we were diamonds in the rough, still are to a great extent. And Christ and the Word of God and the Spirit of God is then in the business of smoothing out the rough edges. So if somebody comes in here with jeans that have more holes than material, so what? We got to trust that they're here for a reason. If somebody comes in with purple hair, so what? If somebody comes in with a long beard down to here, so what? You understand what I'm saying? While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard from them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Man, the walls came down. The Gentiles we're not to be looked upon as dogs anymore, but as people who God loves. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus, and then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. That had to be an interesting few days, because I'm sure Peter took them through a crash course of discipleship to kind of ground them and get them going. This is a pivotal story in the history of the church, because now the church is officially opened up to everyone who's seeking God. Listen, I don't want to leave this passage without recognizing a couple of things. First of all, religion can never save you. Religion can never save you. Nothing offers forgiveness and peace except the personal work of Jesus Christ. Cornelius was a good man, but he wasn't saved until he heard about Jesus Christ and trusted him, right? Secondly, for those of us who have been saved, why do we become so arrogant to think, as we look at other people, that they're beyond God's salvation? Whether they're black, white, fat, skinny, different political parties, whatever prejudices there are out there, listen, they got to go. Talk about lessons from an unemployment line. I was only on unemployment once in my life. And that's when you used to have to report. How many of you remember Water Street, right? Okay. This is in the middle of winter. The company I was working for was just bought out by another company. They laid off a lot of top management. I was one of them. And we're all in line, and the line went around the block back then. It was during the recession, right? There's this one guy, big guy, looks like he could play football for the Giants. Nice guy. He's looking back. I mean, he's tall, probably a little taller than Tommy. Looking over the people, and he says in this loud, booming voice, "You know what, people? We're all equal here." You know what, people? At the foot of the cross, we're all equal. Amen? God help us to go forward with his agenda from this day forward. I'm going to ask Kristen to come up. I mentioned to you before that I believe Christ is coming back again. I hope you do too. I don't know when. Maybe you can wait till after lunch. I don't know. But if he doesn't, then we're not going to go hungry anymore. But you know, until he comes, the scripture is very plain. We are to remain faithful to him in the meantime. Would you stand, please?
These are the deeds of Elijah.
God's good. All the time. Listen, enjoy your day. Take some time for reflection today and relaxation. Janine, anything you want to say about the women's retreat? At all? Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'll tell you, if I were a woman, I'd be here. Because I know it's going to be a blessing. Please, I'm asking you, make an effort to come. Any time we have a chance to pray together, we need to take that opportunity. Amen? Let's pray. Father, would you send us away in the power of your Holy Spirit to know that you're still in control, to know that as we are obedient to you, you will show us exactly what we need to do. Help us, Father, to be open to your Spirit, your Word, and help us to be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless, and you're dismissed.